Today on Real Radio.
The new doesn't mate, it doesn't connect with the old. It's obviously different. Do you realize, church, do you realize how incredibly obviously different the new covenant in the blood of Jesus Christ is compared to the old covenant of the blood of animals, of the blood of sacrifices over and over and over and over again? When Jesus Christ came, the book of Hebrews says that this Christ, Jesus, offered himself up once and for what? All. Never to be offered up again. Beautiful.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, a feeling, give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're looking at the last four verses of Luke chapter 5. It's where Jesus tells a parable using analogies of fabrics and wineskins. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called, What's Filling You?
Jesus is saying that the law served its purpose to a point. He's come to save, but the law cannot save you. Jesus came to save, but the law cannot redeem you. Godless religion, the Bible says, is twice dead. Jude chapter 1, verse 12 says there, this religion that's dead and those that hold to it, they are like spots in your love feast. While they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves because it's prideful and arrogant, they are like clouds without water, carried about by the winds. They're late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead. Pulled up by the roots like raging waves of the sea, they foam up their shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. How is that? Because legalism will never get you to heaven. The old garment here is a garment of dead religion. If you want to write that down in your notes or in your margins, I think you ought to do that. The old garment is dead religion, a system long lost from God. A system or a work that has long gone bad. And so when Jesus is challenging them, he's challenging them to think anew. And when a new work comes along, as it did in their eyes, they're not willing to open it. They're all shut up against it. The dead will protest and criticize and then slip right back into their coma. They will always fight vitality. In fact, the dangerous thing is when you see an old, crusty, once in love with God, so-called believer, look at a new believer. And I don't mean new as in young of age. I mean new believer at any age, trusting Jesus. Oh, praise God. Oh, let's raise our hands or let's get involved. And that old crusty professing believer says, now just calm down. That is a dangerous statement. Hey, let's go to church and then let's go to that concert and then let's go see those that are in the hospital. Let's go visit the homeless. Now, Sonny, just calm on down. Calm yourself now. You don't want to just, save everybody in one moment. Well, why not? Stay away from that. Anybody telling you that? Run. Would to God that the church was filled with more vitality. Jesus never, never would want to mix the two of a dead religion with the vitality of a new work. Jesus did not come to repair the old system. Some scholars believe that this is what the Pharisees were hoping, is that Jesus, who they could not deny, would somehow acquiesce or somehow blend in to their ancient, old, established belief system. Jesus, look, just join us. Remember when Nicodemus came in John chapter 3? He said, we know that thou art a man come from heaven or from God. For no man can do the things you do. Nicodemus is representing the religious hierarchy. Well, we all agree on this, Jesus. You're something. You can really draw a crowd. So join us. Did you hear that? Hey, we recognize that you are really being led by God and being moved and drawing a crowd and people's lives are being changed and your message is biblical. So why don't you join us? Cults do that at your door. They knock and they say, we're being used by God. We're amazing. That sounds like a motivational commercial. Look at us. Join our church. What's the fruit of it? What's the message in it? Jesus is preaching. They don't believe the message, but they want his attention. Just join us, Jesus. And Jesus is saying, you can't mix the two. In other words, allow me to say this. What I'm speaking, what I'm saying Jesus would be teaching is alive and vibrant. To your ears, it's new. You're caught up in traditions. You're bound by legalism. You've got the this and you can't do this and thou shalt not this and everything's a big no to you. And I've come along and I say yes, yes, yes. For all the promises of God in Christ are yes. This is the difference. And you and I don't sit here for a moment and say, well, boy, that person next to me really needs to hear this. I've been convicted about how much in my life is prone to tradition. You too. Well, it's the way we've always done it. Watch out. Maybe God wants to shake things up. It's the way it's always been. Then maybe it's time for a change. Well, we've always had this way or that way. It's always been that tall or this small. Shake it up, says the Lord. And so he did not come to restore an old system to fix it. He came to replace it. Luke 22:20 says, likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new, what is it? The new covenant, the new testament, which is in my blood, which is shed for you. New. The Old Testament had its place. Yes, it's holy. And yes, it even speaks of the future, but that future's Christ. That future that it spoke of is Jesus and his blood. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 13. Are you guys okay? I'm so excited. Am I yelling? I'm sorry. I'm so free. I just need to. Hebrews 8, verse 13. In that he says, a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. Now what has become obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. It's the Old Testament. What's that? Thank you, Kathy Jo. I needed that. Hebrews 8, 13 to 24. He says, listen, a new covenant. This is ancient old scripture here. A new covenant he has made. The first obsolete. Now, that's the Old Testament. Now what is becoming obsolete is growing old and is ready to vanish away. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling that sprinkles or speaks of, I should say, of better things. The old covenant was vanishing away. When? As Christ was bringing the new and bringing his blood. Is it a spiritual life? Look at finally verse 36 at the end. Because spiritual life is different. Make no mistake about it. And also the peace that was taken out of the new does not match the old. I love this. We were watching Sandlot. You ever seen that little movie, Sandlot? It's a great kid movie. You see those kids? I grew up at that time, as many of you did. And it was so funny. Rebecca goes, look at that guy's shirt. He's got stripes and he's wearing plaid pants. Exactly. So what? They're out playing baseball on the Sandlot. A guy, look, in summer, you roll out of bed, and for that matter, today, you roll out of bed, you put on what's closest to your reach. The guy gets out of bed and grabs this and this and this, and you put it on and you go. Sometimes your socks don't match. Why? We don't care about matching socks. We just need socks. So this kid's got striped shirts with plaid pants. It doesn't match. I understand that. Visually, it doesn't match. Exactly the same thing's true. The new doesn't mate. It doesn't connect with the old. It's obviously different. Do you realize, church, do you realize how incredibly obviously different the new covenant in the blood of Jesus Christ is compared to the old covenant of the blood of animals, of the blood of sacrifices over and over and over and over again? When Jesus Christ came, the book of Hebrews says that this Christ, Jesus, offered himself up once and for what? All. Never to be offered up again. Beautiful. So different. They cannot coexist together. John 1:17, this is a great verse. John 1:17 says, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Moses isn't wrong. What he gave lived out its time. It had to vanish away. The law was perfect, but unable to save you from the power of sin. God's grace came along and rescued you and I. And whenever grace, by the way, I love this, Charles Spurgeon put it this way, whenever grace enters into the room, the law must tip its hat in the presence of God's grace. Now, I don't know what culture you're from, but maybe it's an Oriental custom and there's a bow. There's a bow. When someone comes into the room, you are saying to them, greetings and I honor you, I bow. Maybe it's Europe, and Europe's got the ladies will do their kind of hardened pants to do, but they do their little curtsy deal. You know, in our Western world, we say, we want to greet somebody and honor them. We go, yo. That means yo honored. Yo be blessed. We have our greetings. We have our welcome. Whenever grace comes into the room, listen, the law has to bow. The law has to tip its hat to grace. When grace walks into the room, the law stands up. Grace trumps law every time. Every time. Is grace trumping law in your life? Does the grace of God permeate your life? Or are you bound by legalism and performance? See, it's God's grace that allows me to live a Christian life. The law will always cause me to feel, listen, defeated, disappointed, unable, always in a downer, always in a bummer, always in a cloud. I am not good enough. I'm never going to make it. That's the law. And God's grace sets us free. It's very important. The Pharisees desired to have Jesus bring his message alongside theirs. And it wasn't going to be, this was not a man-based religion. It wasn't going to happen. And when there's no faith present, when there's no faith present, man will demand, people will demand a man-controlled, a man-centered religious system. Did you know that? Where faith is not, I tell you, this message is so different, and this gospel is so different, and spiritual, true spiritual life is so different that it stands out. The Bible says, listen, are you ready for this? The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, we have no need for any earthly priest. Book of Hebrews says that. Read chapters 8 through 11. We have no need for an earthly priest. The Bible says the Christian's priest is Jesus Christ in heaven. Okay? And the Bible says that that priest, Jesus Christ, offered himself as a sacrifice once and for all, and that we have access to him boldly, directly. A man-centered, a man-based religious system will always have an icon or a group, a modern-day Sanhedrin or a modern-day apostleship or a modern-day on-the-earth type of Christ. And the Bible says, no way. Whenever faith is present, you can go directly to God. When you don't have faith, you got to look at people. You got to look at systems. And how sad that is. The Pharisees wanted that to happen. It wasn't going to happen. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. Colossians 2, 16 says, let no one judge you in food or drink regarding festivals and new moons and Sabbaths, of which are a shadow of the things to come. But the substance is of Christ. You know, people will often tell me, I don't know if you get this or not, but I had somebody tell me, you know what, you're a nice guy and everything, but you're worshiping Satan. I kid you not. I quote, Jack, you are worshiping Satan, close quote. How's that? Because you go to church on Sunday. Oh, well, the Bible says the disciples went to the church on Sunday. Yeah, but the law says you should go on Saturday. Oh, so you go on Saturday. Yes, I do. And I said, well, I can go Saturday. In fact, you guys remember when we had our Saturday services before the sanctuary was built? So what do you do with that? We worship on Saturday and Sunday. Are we doubly obedient? No. You know what? Go ahead and worship God on Sunday. I don't care. Go ahead and worship Him on Saturday. I don't care. Because I'm going to worship Him on Monday. What? That's right. And Tuesday. And Wednesday. If you're not watching it, I'll even worship Him on Friday. The true believer worships the Lord God the same every day, day in, day out. It's the same. Galatians 4, verses 3 through 5 says, "Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Man-made religion will always make you sore and uncomfortable and a failure." Galatians 5:12 says, "I could wish that those who troubled you," Paul said, "that they were all cut off." Now, that's a very nice word. Remember, man-made religion will make you sore. Paul was telling the church at Galatia, because he just got done preaching freedom, and he left, and then a bunch of guys came from Jerusalem, and they said, "All right, did Paul just leave?" "Yes, he's left." "Okay, now he told you the truth, but we're going to tell you more truth. Here's the truth. All of you guys who want to follow Jesus, we got to circumcise you right here, right now. So let's go to work." Man-made religion will always make you sore. Did you get that little? No wonder why people who are trying to keep the law are always going, "Oh." They don't got nothing to smile about, man. Sore. The Bible says in Philippians 3, verse 2, "Beware of dogs." Now, Paul is not a cat man. He's saying, "Beware of dogs." He's talking about guys, religionists. Philippians 3, 2 says, "Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation," is the word. Beware of those who want to trim your skin off and say, "Now look how holy you are." Well, I don't feel very holy. Outward, external stuff, not the true. "For we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in our flesh." Did you hear that? We have no confidence in our flesh. Did you hear that? No confidence. I have no confidence in the flesh. It tricks me. My flesh rips me off. My flesh lies to me. My flesh is weak. I have no confidence in my flesh. Every bit of trouble I get in is because of my flesh. Paul says, "I don't have any confidence in my flesh." Oh, that's beautiful, isn't it? Very, very different life. Point number two this morning, let's keep going. What's filling you? Point number two, verses 36 to 38. Excuse me, 37 to 38. What's filling you? Verses 37 to 38. Is it new life? Is it new life? We just heard a moment ago, is it spiritual life? Next question, is it new life? "And no one puts new wine into old bottles, for else the new wine will burst and the wineskins will be spilled and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine," verse 38, "must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved." Look with me, verse 37, new life will look for opportunities. It's what happens. Again, I've been pushing this. It's just because I'm prone to it this time of the year. It's springtime. I am impressed with how a seed finds its way out of the ground. New life will find an opportunity. Have you noticed that in your driveway, as in my driveway, there's grass and stuff coming up in the cracks? What are you doing right now in your gardens? You're not only planting things and seeing things come up, but what are you having to do? You have to pull weeds, don't you? Because, man, are those things popping up. Why? It's springtime. Why? They'll find. New life finds opportunity. New life. The new Christian, the brand new believer, the guy that understands, or maybe this morning you're an old believer, but now you're being set free in this message to new life. You know what? No one has to say, okay, we got your phone number, we got your name, you will do this or that ministry. You know, I know churches do that. Do you know why they do that? They're not mean. They're not getting stuff done, just like we're not getting stuff done. But they've been so worn out that they'll muscle people to get something done. It's a huge temptation in ministry. The needs are always huge. What do? We invite you to get involved. We ask you to pray about a mission trip, or pray about ushering, or pray about greeting, or pray about parking lot attendance, or whatever, greeters, or whatever. Pray, because we believe if you'll pray, God will speak to you. It's better for God to speak to you than for us to say, you know what, now that we got your phone number, We'll expect to see you there. We'll never do that. If anybody does that from this church, they didn't mean to do it. It's not of the Spirit. New life is going to come bursting out and there'll be new opportunities. Life will look for opportunities to show itself, just like love does that. The focus is not upon the new wine, by the way. Look at this. It's not upon the new wine. It's upon the wineskin, the container. And this gets exciting to me. The new containers. Hey, that hints about us. Are we new containers? New containers that would carry new wine, the fermenting wine. Fermenting and new, new wine and new containers ferment together. They grow together and become powerful together. They become practical together. They're united. They're in harmonious agreement together for dispensing. This is your, remember this, in my deep theological meditation, this is what came to my mind. This is your handle and this is your spout. Remember that? Pretend that you remember that. How about now that I'm a new Christian, a new life, and God might say, hey, Jack, this is my handle, and this is the spout, and the glory of my son Jesus will come out of the new life. If I have new life, there'll be opportunity for me to share that, to expose that. I'll be glad to do that. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 5 through 7. 2 Corinthians 4, 5 through 7 says, we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves your bondservant for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But listen, but we have this treasure. That's the gospel. The Lord in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. See, you can't mix legalism and the grace of God. It's not going to work. Grace is always going to come jumping out. Grace is always going to flow out. It's always going to pop out because it will always, church, listen, always find opportunity to serve and to glorify and to give honor to the Lord. It will always do that very thing. There'll be an explosion in your life. The Holy Spirit will do that because the grace will begin to come in and take it the place of that which was dead and dying. I want to show you an example. See these bottles? You probably thought I was thirsty, huh? Look at this. Can you see that? Jesus is saying, see that container? What's old is old. Leave it in the old. What's new is new. You got to put it in the new. This is a Pellegrino. And what do you do if you do this? Oh my gosh. Okay. If there's life in here, what's going to happen? Oh. Nothing comes out. Why? It's gone old. It's gone dead. The container, is there any pressure against this container to come out? It's old wineskin, old wine.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California, in a presentation called What's Filling You? It's a look at the last four verses of Luke chapter 5. It's part of our journey through the New Testament narrative or Gospel of Luke, and we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Of course, we're approaching the final weekend of February, which means, as we have been telling you, the Southern California Bible Conference takes place this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, here at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. Admission is free. So we advise you to get there early, starting on Friday. You can visit realradioactive.org or socalbibleconference.com. Either way, socalbibleconference.com or realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California, and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.